All right, let's open up some scriptures. We'll start, where are we going to start? We'll start in 1 Kings chapter 13. It's not last week's talk, so there you go. You'll see something different. All right, 1 Kings 13. Story that I think we're familiar with. You've probably read it before. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I am going to do a chunk of reading. So strap yourselves in. All right. So this is about a man of God here. And he, just as a little bit of background, he restored Jeroboam's hand of leprosy, and which was an amazing miracle. And I'm just going to pick it up just after that happened. So he's just had some prayer for Jeroboam and his hand was restored. And in verse 7, so Jeroboam's a king, it's time. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself and I will give thee a reward. So he's obviously been healed. He's impressed by that. And he wanted this man of God, to come home, come back to his place and he'll give him a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So he was instructed by the Lord to, after he did this visit to the king, was to go a different way back. Don't go the same way that you came on your way back home on your journey. Go a different way. And also don't eat any bread or drink any water along the way. So that was the instructions from the Lord. And obviously he was following it. At this point here, he was obviously could have gone back to the kings and he could have had pretty much whatever he wanted. And, but he said, he stuck true to God's instructions, said, you could offer me half your kingdom or half thine house, but I'm not doing that because I'm instructed to not do so. And in verse 11, let's read on. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel about healing the king of leprosy and so on. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father, and their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. So again, come back to my place, have some bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, they shall eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. So again, sticking to his instruction, which is good. Let's read on though, see what happens. Verse 18, he said unto him, I am a prophet also. So this is the other guy, the older guy. And he said to this man of God that he also is a prophet. And an angel came unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So interesting story here. And you think, well, what's the old prophet? Maybe he wanted to just have some, meet with this guy, have a chat with him, and he wanted this opportunity, and he just thought, well, I'm going to tell a lie. I'm going to deceive this guy. I'm going to tell him that I've been told by the Lord that you're allowed to come back to my place. You're allowed to come back and eat some bread and drink some water and, have a chat or whatnot. And as it said, he lied unto him. And in verse 19, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. So he was deceived. He took up this offer. And you sort of think, well, maybe at this point he was maybe quite hungry, quite thirsty. He was sitting under an oak tree. Might have been hot or might have been getting towards the evening. I don't know the time of day here, but he might have felt a bit uncomfortable. And I guess through some, natural circumstances, it was a little bit, maybe feeling a little bit weak. And he thought, yeah, I could be sustained here. And here's an opportunity where I can go back with this guy. Apparently the Lord's told him I can, so things have changed and, yep, I'm going to go do it. So I guess maybe a moment of weakness caught him out here and he was like, yep, let's go back and I'm happy to do that. In verse 20, and it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. So the word of the Lord has come to the old prophet here, the guy that had deceived him. And he cried unto the men of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled him for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told us of the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from that way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has delivered him unto the lion, which has torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke unto him. And it's a bit of a sad story in the end here. This guy at the start, you know, approached by the king to come back. He said, no, not doing it. And he didn't, you know, which was great because he instructed not to. And then he was lied to by this old prophet here. And then by following or being deceived, maybe like I said, through a moment of weakness, he lost his life. He lost his life on his journey back. And said, pretty sad story here. The man of God, the old prophet, saw that, yep, this was the man of God that was disobeying to the word of the Lord. And that's what I want to touch on a little bit today, is about, I guess, being faithful or being steadfast through moments of weakness in our walks in the Lord, because we're all going to have moments of weakness. Maybe it's in the flesh at times, or through different trials and different tribulations. You know, we're all going to face moments of weakness. We're only natural human beings. We're, you know, we're encouraged obviously to be built up and to be strong in the Lord, which we do regularly. But still, we are just humans, and we're going to have moments of weakness. And this poor old, you know, man of God here was doing so well, but he was easily deceived. I guess I said, for a moment of weakness, if he stood his, you know, was steadfast and stuck to his guns, like, no, I've said no to the king, I'm saying no to this guy, I'm going to do what the Lord said, I'm not going to be deceived, he would have been okay. He would have got home and, wouldn't have been killed by the lion there. So that's what I want to sort of touch on a bit more today. So let's go to Luke chapter 4. While you're doing that, I'm going to sort my phone out because my lock screen goes on real quick and my notes are on here, so... So let me sort that out. There we go. So Luke chapter 4. I like this because obviously Jesus is our best example, isn't it? Isn't he? And following his example, and he's a bar to aim for, but we can't go wrong if we're striving for that. In Luke chapter 4, we read in verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So 40 days of fasting, and I guess, you know, seeking the Lord and everything like that. He was tempted by the devil, having his trials. He would have been, in this moment of weakness, wouldn't he, in the natural there. And in verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it, if thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of awe. And I just like this story here. Again, it's a familiar one. I'm sure we know it quite well. But Jesus, three times here, tempted by the devil. And I guess him throwing things at Jesus. And even, you know, I guess quoting some scriptures. Quoting some of the word of God to him. And sort of coming out to him from different angles there. Trying to trip him up. Trying to get him to, go against what God had sent him to do there. And as I said, there's a hard bar to follow, you know, obviously Jesus being the Son of God, but it's something we want to strive to. And I like how Jesus has kept going back saying, it is written, it's said in the word of God, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And he's quoting scripture, he's using scripture to defend himself against the devil here in these different situations there. And Jesus could have, moment of weakness there, could have been quite, hungry and, thinking, this is pretty tough. It's pretty tough. I could just easily have all this stuff in the natural and sort of be persuaded that way and maybe a bit easier. But he stuck to his guns. He stuck to the plan. He knew he was there for a purpose. And he was just using the word of God to combat the devil here through all those different situations. And it's something we need to go back to, isn't it? When we're stuck, with trials or, people trying to persuade us to a new way or a different way, we keep going back to the Word of God, don't we? Because we know the Word of God is true. We know the Word of God is, the foundation of our salvation. We've copied what the Word of God says. We've got repented, got baptized, got filled with the Holy Spirit because the Word of God says that, and we found out that that was true. So we know that the other scriptures in the Word of God are true as well, and His Word is faithful. So we keep going back to the Word. We combat those situations with the Word of God. And as we do that and we keep doing that, we will get ourselves through whatever's come upon us. So Jesus didn't cave in, even after 40 days fasting there. And, could have easily done that, but he fulfilled his plan and purpose by being faithful to the Lord. And we need to as well. And I love that down there in verse 14. It says, afterwards, the devil gave up. I'm not getting anywhere with this guy. I'm giving up here. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. I like that. The power of the Spirit. It's the power of the Spirit that's inside of us now that's going to help us, isn't it? If we didn't have the Holy Ghost, we didn't have that power, I don't know, we would be easily going the other way because we wouldn't have that to help us. And obviously, Jesus had the Holy Spirit upon him at this point here, and he's able to combat the situations with that and his understanding of the Word of God. So we use the power of the Spirit in our lives. We use the Word of God when things come upon us, especially in those times of weaknesses. You've got to think with the crucifixion with Jesus. Speaking of moments of weakness, being on the cross there, going through severe pain and agony and mockery from humankind that he came to save, he could have just thought, I've had enough of this. I'm out. I'm bailing on the whole thing. And if he did, where would we be now? Where would our relationship with God be now? Where would our salvation be if he did that? But he pushed through. He pushed through, and we're not going to go through what he went through. We're not going to go through that sort of agony, that sort of pain, that sort of mockery that he went through. And he was able to push through it, and, it's something, whatever we come across, we can push through as well. So be strong, but as I said, we've got the power of the Spirit to help us. And let's look at that, God's power. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I didn't check when I started. What time does the talk finish usually? Quarter two? I'll just start nodding off, like they're tired, and I'll get the hint. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. Okay, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech, my preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And this is Paul preaching here, and he's declaring, he was a well-educated man, and he knew, the things of the law, and, a very religious man, and I guess in that sense, in that religious sense, he was sort of quite faithful, and quite sort of steadfast in his beliefs. But as we know, in his conversion, he was changed. He realized he was going down the wrong way, the wrong path, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and things changed. And he touched on here that it's not his preaching or, his encouragement that he gives. It's not about his wisdom or man's wisdom, but it's all about the power of God. As it says there in verse 4, demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And he's, emphasizing how important the power of God is and how much we need to keep going back to that. It's not about, what other men say or, what their thoughts are, but it's all about the Spirit, Holy Ghost, and the power within. And I know with myself, I had a Bible with me when I was traveling around Australia, doing a little from the East Coast for those visitors from over that way. And I had a Bible with me, but I never really understood it. It was sort of nice to sort of read it about some of the stories Jesus did and stuff like that. But it wasn't until I received the Holy Ghost and I spoke in tongues that I started to understand the Word of God properly. Who's sort of experienced the same thing? Who's to read the Bible and sort of think, what's this about? Once you get the Holy Spirit, the power within, it's just like it opens up to you, doesn't it? You start on it, it comes alive, as someone said. And it's true. The power, the Holy Spirit inside of us, reveals those things to us. And it's so important that we, obviously, if you haven't got the Holy Spirit, that you do get it, because it's obviously going to show and give you a better understanding of the Word of God, but it's going to obviously give you eternal life as well, which I might touch on a bit more in a moment. But it's God's power that reveals things to us through the Holy Ghost, and whatever situation, whatever trial, whatever things thrown at us, we've got to keep going back to it. We've got to build ourselves up in the Holy Ghost. We've got to pray in the Spirit, keep reading His Word, and He'll reveal to us. He'll reveal to us the way, what we should do. And sometimes we just have a good prayer and something sort of comes into mind. You think, I think there's a scripture about that. And you go read it and it's like the answer you're looking for. You come to a meeting and you hear it through the gifts. I've had that happen before. You just had a meeting thinking about something and through the gifts, there's your answer. Or you're just reading the Word of God one day and you think, praise the Lord, there's the answer to that situation. And it's all through the Lord, through His power, through the Holy Ghost. And don't put our faith in the wisdom of man, but rather the Word of God, His instructions, and we can't go wrong. Praise the Lord. So if we go to Acts chapter 1, I like this. It's just, I think most of us here have had this experience here, but in Acts chapter 1, it's talking to the disciples who have been around with Jesus for three and a half years at this point, and they obviously believed in him. They knew he was the Son of God. They saw the miracles that he had done. A lot had turned away, but these were the faithful ones. And he said in verse 8, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." So obviously asked them, stay in Jerusalem till they receive the Holy Ghost, power from on high, and that will empower them to take the gospel out. That will empower them to be faithful witnesses, to go out and be about His works. So it's all about receiving the power after the Holy Ghost. And if we read in Acts 2, verse 1, I am cutting a lot out, but I just want to get to the point. Acts 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. If you read the rest of chapter 1, there's about 120 of them praying, seeking for the Holy Ghost. We estimate for about a week at this point. In verse 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Filled the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, Spirit had come inside of them. And all of a sudden, they got the power of God with them, inside of them, and to guide them and to help them. In verse 14, again, I'm cutting a chunk out here. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, shall come to pass in the last days, says God. I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I love this, because Peter, all of a sudden, is empowered by the Holy Ghost. You know, through a moment of weakness, we read back in the Gospels there when he was, denied Christ three times, when he was afraid that, if I say I knew him, what would happen to me? He could sort of see that Jesus was taken off, and he sort of thought, if I put my hand up, he was approached three different times there, that he was with him or one of his followers, and he denied it. He denied it because he was worried, I guess, what would happen to him. But all of a sudden, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, he's empowered by the power of God, and he's standing up, and he's a faithful witness for the Lord. And that's what's happened to us, isn't it? We've been empowered by the Holy Ghost, we've spoken in tongues, and all of a sudden, we have the strength now to take out his gospel, to be faithful witnesses to him, to proclaim the word of God, and to let others know. And I just love that. See that conversion in Peter, obviously the conversion of Paul, but we've all had a conversion. We've all been changed, whether we've been brought up in the Lord or whether we've come from different backgrounds. It's only by the Holy Ghost that's given us his power to be faithful witnesses to him, to have this confidence where we can stand up and say, the Lord has changed me. This is the Holy Ghost that you see in here today, which Peter was talking about. This is the power within that enables me to take out the truth. And it's not of ourselves, it's all by God. Praise the Lord. So be faithful witnesses, stick to his word. And for those who haven't had this experience, it's something you need to have. You need to have. You think, like I said, Peter, these other disciples, they knew Jesus, they believed in Jesus, but he told them, you need this power within. And how did they know? Because they spoke in other tongues in verse 4 there of chapter 2, when the Spirit gave them utterance. So we can talk to you more about that later on if you want to know more. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. While you're turning there, Romans 8, it's a great scripture. I mean, great chapter, sorry. If you're having a hard day, read Romans 8. It's full of good stuff. But I'm just going to just quote a few scriptures from it while you're turning to 1 Peter. Romans 8, verse 7, it says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for he's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So the natural mind is at war with God. And the natural mind by itself is going to struggle to follow the things of God. It says in verse 8 of Romans 8, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And yes, we are natural. We still have the natural body, still have the natural person, natural being, but we've also got the Holy Spirit inside of us now, which enables us to see things, I guess, from God's perspective, from God's level there, because the Spirit inside of us is obviously from the Lord. He dwells within us now and is there to guide us and lead us. So we've got to push the natural man away at times when that pops up, and rather put our trust in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit, in the spiritual man. As it says in verse 9, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. So it's a matter of being, matter of salvation as well, isn't it? You need the Spirit to be one of the Lord's. So, yep, as I said, we're going to have this battle at times with the natural mind, but go with what the Word of God says and what the Holy Ghost, or where the Holy Ghost is leading and guiding us. So 1 Peter chapter 5, you're all there, aren't you? And I'm not. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. So this is to these letters to the Spirit-filled, to us, to have the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we've got to stay humble, stay malleable, and come to the Lord with that that humility and attitude when we're seeking him. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I like that. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for us, which is great. It's amazing, isn't it, that God of all creation, he cares for us. He's chosen us. He's called us. He cares for us. And he wants us to cast all our cares, all our problems, all our concerns over to him. So it says in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you, in your brethren, sorry, that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, will make perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And it's, you know, old Nick out there, or the devil, he's looking who he can deceive, who he can devour. He's looking for it, and he doesn't go for your strong points. He knows that's not going to work. He's going to go for your weak points. He's going to know where your weak points are, and he's going to hit you hard there and not be merciful. He's going to keep hitting you, because he's trying to deceive. He's trying to get us off track. He's trying to get us off track with our walk with the Lord. And I mean, I know when I was growing up, and you wanted something from your parents. And you'd sort of know at times that, you know, when I was growing up, it was sort of like mum was the one I could go to. You know, dad was a bit like, oh, it's going to be harder to get what I want from dad. But I knew mum was a bit softer. That was maybe my best sort of avenue there. But even at times, yeah, mum would be pretty, you know, solid and, you know, pretty stuck to her guns. But then you'd be in times you could sense, yeah, I think I can get in here and I'm going to get the answer I want. Because you sort of sensed a weak moment or something like that. And you'd go in and you'd ask for what you needed or whatever you wanted. And you just sort of picked your moments. You sort of could see, yeah, there's a moment here, moment of maybe weakness where I can get what I want or what I need. And, you know, this is maybe something I did. And I don't know if any of you guys did that. But, yeah, I can't remember what it was. But you just sort of could sense at different times that when you wanted something, this was maybe the moment to try it. And it's like with the devil. He knows our weak moments. And he'll come. He'll come hard. And we've got to be steadfast, as it says there. Oh, sorry. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? So those that are, I guess, feeling weak at times. But it says in verse 10, the God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Yes, we might suffer a while. We might struggle for a while. But if we push through it, if we push through those moments of weakness when we feel like we're being attacked, if we push through that, we keep being steadfast, we keep being faithful to the Word of God, we keep casting it back to the Lord, as it says in verse 7, all our cares upon him. We be sober, as it says in verse 8. We be vigilant. If we keep doing that through those moments of weakness, we'll get through it. And as it says in verse 10 there at the end of that, we'll be perfect, we'll be established, we'll be strengthened, and we'll be settled, because we'll get through that trial, we'll get through that problem, and it will make us stronger. It'll make us stronger because we've come through, we've been victorious. And, you know, no one likes trials, no one likes them, you know, but they actually help us. They actually strengthen our faith in the Lord. And even though at times we feel weak, if we push through it, we'll be stronger for it later. You know, we've heard the saying, what doesn't break you makes you stronger. And we will be stronger through our faith. And might get us down praying more. Maybe we think, you know, we've just had our prayer life had been a little bit, and then we've just actually put up our, you know, up the ante in our prayer life a little bit through that trial. And we've come out thinking, wow, you know, I feel really strong now. You know, I've had to put more prayer in and it's really helped me. Or we've got stuck into the Word of God more, or we've listened to more talks or whatever, whatever we've done has helped us get through that situation, it will strengthen us in the end. So keep pushing through. That moment of weakness will actually make us stronger if we keep relying on the Lord and seeking Him. And a couple more scriptures. 2 Corinthians. Just on that thought. Chapter 2:12. And you sort of think, this is Paul. It's about Paul here. And you sort of look at Paul and you think, Paul was an amazing guy. He's an amazing guy. Amazing, faithful servant for the Lord. But he still had his trials. He still had his struggles. He wasn't immune to it. No one's immune to it. 2 Corinthians 12, sorry, did I say that? 2 Corinthians 12. In verse 2. It says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, wherein the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So, see, amazing experience with the Lord there. Verse 5, of such was one, and one will I glory, yet not of myself, I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, though the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And Paul had a situation. A trial doesn't actually say what it was, but he was struggling. You know, the Almighty Paul, the apostle there, struggling through a certain situation or trial. And he said, you know, he sought the Lord 3 times. The Lord said, you know, my grace is sufficient for me, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's true. You know, his strength is made perfect in weakness. This was a trial, a thorn in the flesh for him, but he kept on just serving the Lord. He kept on getting on with things, even though that was there in the background. And maybe it's for some of us as well, where we've got something there just lingering in the background. Maybe it's been there for a few months or a few years, maybe even a decade, I don't know. Some of us have been along for a while, and it's sort of there, just lingering around the background there. And I just love how, you know, as we read Paul's life, you know, he just got on with serving the Lord. And that's, I guess, the best thing for us to do is, yep, there's a trial, there's a situation there, but don't let it stop you from serving the Lord. Keep serving the Lord. Keep pushing forward. Pray about it. Leave with the Lord. Or keep praying about it. Keep seeking the Lord. Have that there. And obviously look for the victory in it, but keep pushing on, keep moving forward, serving Him in the meantime. Because if we let that slow us down, if we let that bog us down, you know, it can really, I guess, overwhelm us. And it could really, I guess, affect us, a lot more in our walk in the Lord. So keep on pushing forward, keep on serving Him. And as Paul says there in verse 10, that he takes pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, necessity, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, because he knew that when I am weak, then I am strong. He knew that when he was weak or when he was struggling, maybe it just helped him press into even that little bit more. And, I don't know if I'm like that. I don't know if I get up and go, thank you, Lord, for all these trials. This is great. I take pleasure in this. But Paul's attitude was, well, yeah, it's hard, but he knew that it was going to make him stronger in the end. He knew that these trials, these tribulations, the things that were going on in his life, I guess, kept him sharp because he kept going to the Lord. He kept seeking the Lord no matter what was hitting him. And we can have that, I guess, same attitude as well. Okay, yep, it's not great, but it's going to keep me sharp. There's going to be a victory. There's going to be a testimony in this down the track. And it's going to keep me on my knees seeking the Lord. And Paul had this attitude. So I guess it's something, an attitude we can look at having as well. acknowledging, yep, it's there, but I'm going to keep on moving forward. I'm going to keep serving the Lord no matter what's going on in my life. And this thing that's bothering me is thorn in the flesh, or maybe it's a few thorns in the flesh. You might have a few, you know, three or four, which isn't, you know, great, but we know that it's going to make us stronger in the end, and it's going to keep us on our knees seeking the Lord. All right, last scripture, Psalm 73. If you read, we know the story of, I guess, Samson in Judges. His strength was in his hair, we know that, and his hair was cut, and he lost all his strength, and he called out to the Lord and said, Lord, just give me this strength one more time. And, you know, when he's between the pillars there, and the Lord came through and gave him this strength, and, you know, in this natural weakness, he was struggling, but he called upon the Lord, and he gained his strength back, and, you know, his eyes were plucked out at this point, and he just, you know, killed all these Philistines at that point. But he called out to the Lord, and the Lord gave him this strength one last time. So we've got to keep calling out to the Lord to give us strength all the time, because that's his power that we rely upon and not our own. Psalm 73, last scripture. I'm going to finish on time. There we go. Psalm 73, verse 25, says, whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I love that. It's a chorus we sing, I think it's number 205. Whom have I in heaven but thee? You know, there's none upon the earth that I desire besides the Lord. The Lord is our focus now. It's what we desire now, isn't it? And our priorities change. The day we're filled with the Holy Spirit, I know for me, I'm sure for you as well, our priorities started to change. It was all about serving the Lord now. It was all about walking with him. Our desire, I guess, some desires in the natural were put aside because we just realized they didn't mean much anymore. It was all about serving the Lord. And as it says in verse 26, my flesh and my heart fail us. Yes, the natural man is going to fail. Okay, different times, no matter how strong we are, or think we are in the natural, it will fail at different points. But as it goes on to say, God is the strength of my heart and my portion evermore. God is the strength now of our life. Look to him. Look to his strength. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So he's given us a spirit of fear. We don't have to fear anymore. We don't have to worry anymore. It says elsewhere in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He's on our team. He wants to help us, especially through those moments of weakness. So let's keep on being faithful servants to him. Let's keep on calling upon the Lord. Let's keep looking to him, especially through those moments of weakness. As we serve him, as we look to him, we've got the power within to help us get through anything. Praise the Lord. All right, leave things there.